think it's in the Garden City Community Center.
Same place we had it last night.
Okay.
And so Pat's having pizza, and he's having a meeting after church today. So he'll be in the reading room or the library, one of those two.
Okay.
So pizza.
Alright, see, I put our picture up here of yesterday.
Uh-huh. It looks good.
Good time.
19 departments on it.
Okay, you are, Tim.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm late.
Well, I kind of cut off there. That's okay. I was cropping it and I kind of. Yeah, it was a good time. It was good for this patient. I don't really know of anyone not there that wasn't able to make it, I guess. Yeah. Tom wasn't able to make it.
Tom had to work.
Tom?
I think Julie Sis or Brian Rinker.
Oh, the Rinkers, yes.
I told him to get your plate of food.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah, it was really good ham, great turkey.
I should have just got him a Casey's sub.
You did a good job.
Yeah, good time. Good time had by all.
He was. That's fun.
All right, so today is the final installment of the spiritual gifts. We're going to put a bow on it today, hopefully. Hopefully it's been beneficial so far. Without further ado, I'm just going to cover. I always got to do a quick review. Last week we talked about some of these goals for the class. You know, what are these gifts? Do we have them? How do we get them? What gifts are available? We covered all that. We got halfway through this one, knowing what our spiritual gift is. We'll kind of finish that up today. But the most important thing for today, we're going to talk about is, what does God expect you to do with that gift? And then this is kind of an appendix of our goals. Is it's to know about our gifts is to improve our relationship with God and with others, to help us grow. When God created us, He gave us all unique abilities, talents, you know, emotional things. And whenever we become believers, He gives us this gift to help us meet the needs of others. Because we all have different needs as well. You know, some of us may need more encouragement than others. Or some of us may need more of something else than another. So we all have these gifts to help us meet the needs of others. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. To help everybody grow together. That's our familiar slide we've talked about. Whenever we accept Christ as our Savior, we basically, you know, we get the Holy Spirit. That's to help our relationship with God. And then He gives us these spiritual gifts. We've been calling them motivational gifts to help us serve others, meet the needs of others. So that's the two things. And then, you know, we've seen this slide. These are the key verses that talk about the gifts that we have. This stuff was all on the week one handout. Actually, did everybody get a handout?
No.
Oh, didn't. I've been good on my handout. I killed another tree, and actually it's a lot of the tree from last week.
I killed a lot of trees.
So yeah, this is on the week one handout. Don't want to go too much in it. We have a lot to cover today. We talked about what gifts are even available. You know, we went through all the different lists in the New Testament. We kind of hang our hat on this list. These are what I call Paul's list of spiritual gifts.
I don't know why I noticed that, but there's pickles on this side.
Well, there's a reason for that. I almost redid it, but I'm ADD that way. But, they go back for that. Because I had Luke, I called in Luke this week to help me print some of this.
Jeff, yes, sir.
I was busy, but I printed the front page on my printer. Uh-huh. And then the rest Luke got me out with. So, all right, everybody has a handout now. This is on the week one. I think it's also on week two or three.
Is it on the front?
Yes. These are the lists of gifts that we've been talking about. And we talked about how this was in Ephesians. These are offices. Not so much gifts, but an office. You know, these gifts here are gifts kind of the Holy Spirit that are manifest as needed in a believer. They don't necessarily reside on somebody. Whereas this list is our list that we've been going through. These are the seven motivational gifts that we have. And kind of describe them there. They're the gifts that motivate us to do stuff. And that's why I think God gives us these gifts. We all have different ones. We're not all the same. But we all have one of these seven as our primary. And that is so we can, you know, like I said, meet the needs of each other. We're going to talk more about this today. It's like, why do I act this way? Why did I say that? Why did that person rub me wrong? So we're going to get into some of that in a little bit. So here's our gifts again. As believers, you know, I've mentioned this a few times, we're called to have all of these gifts at some capacity in our lives. This is how we bear fruit, you know, with Galatians 5. We're all to have these gifts. It's just that God gives one or so of these gifts very strongly in someone. And that's their motivational gift that helps them get up in the morning.
I have a question.
Yes.
What does exhorting mean?
Exhorting, those are the cheerleaders. Yeah, to exhort someone is to encourage them. That's actually a better word in our modern language for exhorting. Yes.
I've always taken it as iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm. That's good for exhorting. Pam is an exhorter. She told us last week that she's an exhorter. Pam is good at... And we kind of covered it last week, and it's in your handout there. But an exhorter is a person that sees the potential in someone else. And they want to help that person reach it. So you might be an exhorter. The qualities are listed out in there, an exhorter. They're typically the counselors.
That's definitely me. Because I'm always helping people out in church.
Yes, you are.
I'm always one to help people out the house.
You're uniquely suited. You got the apron with your name on it.
Come back to bite me.
So, these are the gifts. We've talked about this a lot. And in the very first week, I gave you guys this link, this URL, to take the spiritual gifts test. Pam did it. I've done it. Sherry did it. Glenda, you did it.
I'm going to do it.
Man, I was hoping all of us would do it.
Is it in here, the link?
So do you have to have the backslash on there?
No, you don't. No. I just said I have it. I didn't have it. Did you take... You've taken
this
one.
Is that it? It's this one, but I did take one.
Okay, what was your gift, like primarily?
Administration, evangelism, and something else.
Okay, cool. That makes sense, because you're on the IGO team, and then you're in HBI.
Yeah.
Administration, oh, that's cool. See, I thought it'd be cool if we all took it, and then we could all like write up here on the board what we are, because we're going to have an exercise a little bit later where we'll talk about some gifts and some of that. So, I encourage you, I mean, even though we're not going to talk about this as a class anymore, to take the test. It's just a tool. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of them out there. It's around 100 or so questions. It took me 20 or so minutes. I took it twice just to make sure. You know, like a week apart. And I was brutally honest in the answers. Because if it asked you, like, how much do you pray for other people? Or how much do you read your Bible? I was just honest. And, you know, here was my results. That's where I came out. You know, I have the gift of teaching.
Shepherding.
Shepherding is on it. I'm low in these, like, mercy. You get no mercy from me.
Evangelism?
Evangelism and prophecy are the lowest.
Is that out of a 20?
You know, I think so.
Yeah.
I guess 19 is high. Well, there's 21.
Right. Oh, maybe not.
Maybe about 50, huh?
I don't know. But, you know, like I say, it's just a tool.
How many questions were there?
Around 110-ish. I took it twice, and I got the exact same. The numbers were different, but the same three. And it's just good to know, you know, what this man-made tool is, and then you can take that and pray about it. And I've got a three-step plan at the end of class. We'll talk about how to develop your gift. But, yeah, I was funny. Like, man, Anyway.
There was one on the internet I started to take, and then I felt like it was getting too personal. It wasn't linked in with...
Oh, really? Yeah, this doesn't get personal at all.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, did you take it? Did you say...
Well, I didn't finish it.
You hadn't finished it? This guy here, or this church group that does it, they did want my email, but it's no big deal. I've got 10 of those. I just gave them the wrong ones.
Yeah.
All right, so here's our motivational. Here's the passage that we've camped out in. This is in Romans 12. So let's just read this real quick. It says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." You know, this is a common theme Paul uses, is likening the body of Christ to a human body. You know, somebody's got to be the little finger, somebody's got to be the shoulders, you know, everything. So, this is no different. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry." And we talk about wait is the word like waiter, serving, attending to other people. Like what Larry and Belinda do all the time. They're like the consummate servers. "Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So those are our seven motivational gifts that we're all supposed to exercise. Some of us have them stronger than others. Let me go forward here. Now last week we talked about these four. We covered prophecy. Now that's the person that's bold. They see right and wrong. They want to write things. They want to preach the truth. They want to preach. We talked about Kevin. I picked on Kevin a lot last week because whenever I was preparing this, I was thinking of Kevin the whole time. In our Bibles, the example, one of the examples is Peter. Peter had the gift of prophecy. He was always speaking up, quick to act, quick to speak. That's Kevin. We talked about teaching. Luke was the teacher in the Bible. You know, he's very specific with details, teachers, you know, we covered all the characteristics. You have all these in your handout. We talked about serving. People that have this gift are just driven to serve. You know, I mentioned if someone drops a Coke in the sanctuary, a person that's motivational gift of serving, they're going to want to get up and clean it up now.
Yep.
And that would be one of these two here. Definitely have a gift of serving. And exhorting. You know, this is the cheerleaders. You know, we all need these people in our lives. No one can have too much exhorters in your life, too many cheerleaders. People that know you can do it, that will encourage you to do it, that will help you develop a plan to do it. These are usually counselors. Pam Jackson says she has this. So, that'd be cool if you did too. So, we're gonna fill this out here as we go. Gift of prophecy. You know, that was the person that boldly proclaims God's truth. Kevin, Pat, and Steve were the ones that I think of in here. Pat said he also, I think he took the test, and he also had prophecy as a very high. Mary, this would be you. I didn't know about you taking it, but he dared you to that. And next, serving. Talk about the Brams. Jeff Dooley, who was here last week, he helps Steve all the time. He's a good server. Belinda, Larry, of course. Jaime and Aura, always helping me clean the church. They're always ready and willing to help out wherever. You know, soccer, whatever they need. Whatever's needed, they're willing to jump in and help out.
Rosie
would be one. I hadn't thought of her. Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck, you're a... You're a good server. You help. And it's pretty much all of us. We all do this, but... I just had to think of a few. All right, teaching. I just put, you know, Pat, Steve, and me, just for, you know, I didn't want to toot my own horn too much, but I love teaching, always have. Exhorting, Pam Jackson. Encouraging others to reach their potential. All right, so now we're going to talk about giving. Let me click that. So now we're going to fill this out today. Alright, so here's the giving. Here's the verse again. People have this motivational gift, let them do it with simplicity. Alright, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then I was going through the Webster definition of all these gifts. So this is what Webster says about giving. You know, Webster is the go-to guy for definitions on words in our Bible. Bestowing, imparting, granting, delivering, to supply or furnish. People with the gift of giving are motivated to give. You know, they're the give till it hurts. They don't just give 10%, they'll give, you know, like 110%. Is that my phone? Let me just turn that off here. We got worse stuff going on today. It's going to go off no more. Sorry.
So, Jim, that would be like the widow's mite?
Yes, actually, she's on the handout. Right there. So, in your handout, I've got a profile sheet for each one of these motivational gifts. This is the one for giving. The definition of a giver, they want to use their time, talents, possessions, and resources to honor God and help others in need. That is a giver. We should all be givers. But some people just gotta give. They give to live. And they live, give to live and live to give. Yeah, that kind of thing. It's given to believers so they can meet the needs of others that may be missed. And, you know, especially like, you know, I've been here at this church a while, and we'll help, like say a funeral situation. People will help the family, but then there's always somebody that knows or is led to help in some other way that no one even thought of. That's like a really good idea. Like, wow, that is a good idea. That reminds me of Belinda, actually. She's good at thinking things like that. So that would be a giver, someone that's really strong in giving. Matthew. Now I put him because it's kind of cool. Matthew wrote the most about using your money and resources for God and for others. You know, he was a tax collector, Matthew was. He's the one that wrote more about money and what to do with it. He records, you know, like at the birth of Jesus, the frankincense, myrrh, and gold, the specific gift that was given, that's only in Matthew. The coin, you know, like give them to Caesar, what Caesar. Anything with money, you get more detail out of Matthew. He was very conscious, you know, the Judas, the 30 pieces, that's all in Matthew. Parables about helping your parents, it's in Matthew. He was very conscious of money and applying God's resources for ministry and for God's people. So he, to me, he's a good example of a giver. I'm sure he was a giver. And then Tabitha, this is a cool little story in Acts. Tabitha was a lady that was known for compassion and giving. She made coats for everybody. So I imagine this little town of Joppa, where she lived, where she's making everybody coats. So then at her funeral, you know, they all show up wearing these coats and they're very upset. Well, Peter actually raises her from the dead. So she's kind of rewarded in that way. But she had the gift of giving. She gave to others through her life, and that's a neat little story. The widow that Belinda mentioned, she's a good giver. She gave all that she had. Not just 10%, she gave it all. And then James is an awesome book about giving. I'm going to move on here. Alright, so we're all commanded to give and tithe. Some have that live to give, I mentioned. It's not just for rich people. I mean, poor people are some of the most generous people we know. And time, money, and resources. Sowing sparingly, we reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. They know all these things. They trust God for the fruit. Now, Proverbs 19:17, that's one of my favorite verses, and that's actually the motto or the theme verse for the City Union Mission downtown. And that verse basically says if you give to the poor, God will acknowledge it and reward you. So giving to the poor is very important to God. They givers will encourage other people to give and be financially sound. They differentiate between need. Elijah, the widow, the Shunammite woman, all that. There's some good stories in the Old Testament about giving. Givers are often the answer to other people's prayers. I think that's kind of a cool thought. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're really praying for something and someone gives you something, it doesn't have to be money, it is an answer to prayer. Yeah. And they don't expect earthly rewards or accolades. They know where their reward comes from. So some of the characteristics of givers, and I think if this might be you, think of people you know or yourself. They're very content, thankful, and grateful for what they have. They're resourceful, they're cheerful, they're compassionate, thrifty bargain hunters. They like those thrift stores. Pam Anderson. They're not motivated by attention. And they're willing to sacrifice their own needs to help other people. I think that's kind of key, too. That's pretty neat. That they'll do without so others can have. But as with all gifts, there are some things we need to be cautious about or aware of. Sometimes a giver can get too concerned with helping other people physically, and they'll overlook the spiritual need. This is kind of a fault of a lot of the some of the parachurch organizations that want to help feed somebody, but they're not helping them spiritually. So, and then this is kind of bad on here. A giver might want to try to control the recipient. Because I just gave you $100, so you should go do this or that. So you don't want to control people with your gifts, so that'd be something the giver needs to think about. And they shouldn't pressure others to give, because they may not have that gift. So, is there any givers in here? So I think
we'll sign.
There's a few. Alright, let's move on to Ruleth. We got a cook here. I don't want to
I can give people help if they need it.
That's right, you do. Alright, so now we're going to talk about Ruleth.
Oh, give my God.
Ruleth with diligence. Yeah, so this is Webster's. That's what he's saying. To govern things, to conduct, like a conductor, orchestrate, to manage, to lead. Now, I'm just going to jump right here. The Greek word that Paul uses for ruleth is this, prosthemitos, or minos. We get our English pre from this word, like president. Someone that stands, like the prefix is like before. So this is someone that stands before others, like a president. They lead, they manage projects, they manage people, they manage things, and they lead things. So it's a pretty kind of a broad term. We use the terms leading, shepherding, or administrators, like what Mary mentioned. She's an administrator. You can probably manage projects, people, things like that. This I was also high, yes. I'm sure Pastor Steve is off the charts on this shepherding. He's the consummate shepherd. So I'm going to pick on him on this slide. Whenever I wrote this slide, I actually thought about Steve a lot when I was looking at the characteristics. So the person with the motivational gift of ruling, they have this unique ability to lead, guide, and organize people and ministries toward a common goal. It's kind of a mouthful, but I just kind of condensed it. They see God's vision. They get God's vision. God gives Steve visions for what needs to be done with life issues or anything else that he's leading. And he pulls it off. He makes it happen through delegation, through hard work, through prayer, through a lot of different means. Example would be James. James is a killer book. It's a dynamite book about leading and shepherding and managing people and having patience, wisdom, faith without words. All these things that are in the book of James is dealing with managing people, shepherding people. It's a really good book. I don't have time to get through all of it. But one of the times that James shines is in Acts 15. And kind of what this was, and we can all relate to. Imagine at work or anywhere else, when they're in the absence of a leader, there's no leader. You know, like 16 shows Lost, and then whatever, all these Survivor shows. We're uncomfortable when there's no leader. You know, we just are. Someone's got to be in charge. Someone's got to tell us what to do. These people with this gift, they rise to that challenge, and they'll be the leader. You know, and they assume that role. That's kind of what James did here in Acts 15. They needed somebody to stand up and take charge. And that's what James did. And that's what leaders do. They should lead like Christ. You know, godly leader is first a godly follower.
Amen.
Yeah. Always looking to the Lord for wisdom and direction. They can see the big picture, you know, decently and in order. Pastor Brian's words, that leaders should lead decently and in order. Pastor Steve does that. I was going to highlight this line, but I didn't. But I think it's really important that leaders, whether it's your family or at work, one of the roles of a leader is to allow other people to flourish, that their gifts will grow and flourish. You know, Steve's really good at this. You know, he's always got an eye open, like, who can I bring up or help fill roles and help grow? And I think that's cool. That's a good trademark of a leader. They're not just concerned with being the leader, but making other leaders, helping others to flourish. Now, they are held to a higher standard, this bullet here. There's a good verse in James again about how leaders, the connotation is on that verse that they're held to a higher standard because they're leading other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll effortlessly rise to the challenge. Now, these are some of the characteristics of leaders. They're diligent, they're not lazy, self-starters, they're motivated, good problem solvers. They can delegate effectively. You know, there's a cool verse in Proverbs that an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. You don't want to delegate to an unfaithful man because you're going to hurt for it. And obviously you can identify with that one. But he's good at delegating to the people that can do the job. And that's what a leader does. They got a vision for the future. He can motivate others. Highly organized. Steve's very organized with all his documentation and project planning. Some things to be aware of if you're a leader. And I put this pull, not push. Now, I don't know if you've heard the string analogy, but imagine a string on a table. You can pull the string, and it'll go where you want it to go. But you can't push it. So you can't push people. You have to pull people. Lead by example. Not be demanding. Not relying on their own abilities. People can be critical of people who lead. You're kind of a target when you're the leader. People are jealous. They're threatened. So it's kind of a lonely spot sometimes. I'm a manager at work, and sometimes it gets lonely because you can't confide everything to everybody. But anyway, that's a leader. That's an administrator, a ruler. Does anyone else feel that that was them? Linda, I believe it. Yeah. I can see these.
If I see things going chaotic, I'm like,
you're going to take over. You're going to be the leader.
You still have to trace solidly because the leader that's absent might be angry about what you did.
That's true, but it's time to execute.
We've all had those bosses,
Oh, yeah.
We've all had those,
Larry, what do you got?
You know what? I've been there a time or two.
No, I bet you have.
You know?
Because you're in there helping, doing the stuff.
I mean, it's like Melinda. If something gets chaotic, I'm like, I'm out of this.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
And,
all right, move on to mercy. It's our last one. Mercy with cheerfulness. And I think we have a lot of mercies at our church. I'm mostly concentrated on the ones in here. Mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so Noah, Webster, pity, compassion, manifest toward a person in distress. And I think what's interesting is back on that Romans 12:8, actually I'll flip back, mercy with cheerfulness. Those are kind of strange words to pair. I don't think we're happy that someone is suffering.
No.
But you're happy to help, you know, like the government is so happy to help. So that's mercy but cheerfulness. So here's our profile sheet for mercy, mercies. They have the strong motivation to comfort those who are hurting, outcast, downtrodden, treated unfairly. My wife has this really strong. She will accept no wrong done to any children or anyone that's down.
Amen.
Yeah, and a lot of us have this. I mean, we have a soft spot for, and as believers, we need to all have this gift. Yeah, pretty
amen.
Strong. That's why I feel kind of bad. Mine is so low.
Wrong.
I have no mercy. I should have been a ruler, man. Yeah, no. Anyway, so these people are motivated to help those people. They'll go out of their way to help them, the ones most in need. John, he wrote so much about love and loving others. You know, he wrote 5 books of our Bible, but 4 of them, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. John really honed in on love, helping others. James, the Good Samaritan, is a good example of a mercy. The guy just helped the other guy. Didn't get anything out of it. He just wanted to help because he saw a human in need. Mercy, compassion, or pity. I'm going to kind of cook through these. They have a heightened sense of awareness of other people hurting. And I do think it's interesting that whenever I think of mercies that I've known through the years, they'll often pair or hook up with people that you wouldn't expect. Like someone... But then when you find out more about it, you find that other person is like hurting in some deep way. And so this person of maybe different kind of social classes or something, they'll still hook up because they have that common bond. They have a real heart for others. I like this love with shoes on. I got that from, I think, David Jeremiah. I read some articles he had about mercies. These people, they don't just love someone, they do something. They help lift burdens. Often mercies have had real heartache themselves, so they feel that compassion for other people. Swindoll pointed this out, how it's perceived as a feminine gift, if you have the gift of mercy. But like I say, John is the one that wrote most about it. You know, John was the son of thunder. He was no wimp. anyway, got that. They desire closeness, social, very high touch people. I don't know if that's a term we use at work. Someone that's very high touch needs a lot of social interaction. Alright, so mercies. They're very sensitive to feelings of others. They may appear to be emotional. They can detect insincerity on others. They're very loyal to the people they love. They're gentle, caring. They're good listeners. They're sensitive to even people that hurt other people. I mean, they're very sensitive to that. They're a joy to be around. I love being around mercies. Always see the good in others. Some people always see the good in others.
Too much,
though. Sometimes it's too much. That can be a caution. Like I say, my wife is a mercy. So me and her pair well because she'll be led to do things and, you know, sometimes I might have to talk her off the ledge or maybe join her. I have no mercy again.
Is it easy to talk her off the ledge?
No, it's easy. Yeah. Peacemakers are non-combative. They don't want to get into any shouting matches or anything. Very forgiving. But they are more prone. Of all the gifts, several of the books and things I've read about, is these guys are the most prone to burnout because they get the most involved in other people at a deep level, a deep emotional level. So, here's some things they need to be aware of. Being too emotional, they must balance their mercy with just. They can't be too quick to take action or sides. Bounds. Got to have boundaries. I've learned that from Pam Jackson. She's a good teacher on having boundaries when dealing with people, especially with the opposite sex. Must not interfere with what God is doing. Sometimes God might be putting someone through some trial, and a mercy might want to swoop in and save the person from that calamity. God has a plan. Well, God has a plan. So a person with mercy has to be sensitive. Like, does God really want me to act on this? Is he trying to do something in their life? So, all right, whose mercy's in here? I hope Glenn would. See, I think Pam Anderson, I can see you at a lot of these.
What about me?
Emmett's shaking his head no. And Larry, he's not shaking his head. Yeah, he's agreeing with me. I think you do. I do.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head.
So,
I am filling out a giving. Pam Anderson,
I think she's a giver. I see giving people all the time. Sherry's a giver and Linda's a giver. We have a lot of givers in here. Time, talent, resources, those in need. Ruling. The folks that lead guide ministries. Pam Jackson, Steve, Pat, Kevin, Dead Mary, Mercy. Dan Fugate, she's got the gift of mercy. I mean, there's a lot of people at HBF. You know, I think of like Betty Arney and just so many ladies that we have that are mercies. Sherry, both Pams. I did Pam Squared. Belinda, again, and Steve. Steve, obviously, me. Very merciful. Was you pretty high on mercy?
Yeah.
I bet you were.
That was one of the three.
Oh, man, Kevin,
did you finish it?
Well, they didn't give me prophecy.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed that. You're high in shepherding. That's pretty interesting.
That's cool.
I think I might take it again.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so there's the gifts we should all have again. One thing I wanted to get to, we've just talked about all these gifts, and some of us have identified which ones we are, and what I wanted to do, this little exercise, on this can help us relate to other people, now that we kind of know some of each other's mercies, because the gift that we have will motivate us to say and act differently from each other. And you know, you may ask yourself, why are they doing that? Why aren't they doing that? That person rubs me the wrong way because they won't do this or they do that or whatever. Because we have different gifts. So here's what I did. We're gonna imagine a birthday party. I was gonna do a Christmas party if I got to this last week, but I didn't get to it. Alright. We're at a birthday party. At the balloons. We've got a person from each gift in attendance. We've got a prophecy. We got Kevin. We got Belinda. We got who's a teacher other than me? We got Pat. We got Pam. We got these people giving. Well, Belinda's already been taken. Pam Anderson. Admin, Mary, and then you got Mercy. Who was our mercy?
I forgot.
Steve. Pam Anderson was. Steve was. All right. These people are in attendance. All right. Got the candles lit on the cake, and Grandma's bringing in the cake. And we're all sitting around, happy, happy birthday. We're here. Well, Grandma comes in, she falls. Oh, man. Grandma's okay. She's cool. She's okay. She didn't fall. Grandma drops the cake.
Uh-huh.
And shatters the nice little platter that it was on. It fell, too. Cake all over the floor. Candles, wax, the mess. So let's see how they respond based on what we talked about. So prophecy, he's going to say something like, "Yeah, it looks like you're a little clumsy today. That cake's too heavy for you." I mean, it's absolutely true. It's too heavy for Grandma. He's speaking the truth.
He should have went and carried it for
him. Seems a little harsh, but that's what a prophecy guy might say, or gal. Well, the server might say,
"Mercy would go pick it up."
Yeah, you look tired. Don't worry about this. I'm going to clean it up for you. Because they're ready to serve. They're ready to clean things up. Well, the teacher, he's going to look at that, or she, and say, you know,
the reason
you dropped that cake is the center of gravity was off, and, you know, and they're going to, like, expound some technical facts.
You're old.
You know, yeah, you're too old. Yeah. That's the teacher. All right, so an exhorter. They're going to say, you know, that does look heavy. Next time, you need to walk slower. You can do it. You got this. They're still going to encourage them. They're going to give them some truth. They're going to encourage them, too. Well, the giver, they're immediately going to say, you know, this is Belinda. Shake.
There's a bakery down the street.
Walmart's down the road.
I'm going to run down and get another cake. Don't worry about the cake. You know, that's the way a giver's going to think. Well, the admin, the administrator, everybody get up. Get the chairs away. You get a broom. You get a mop. Let's get this cleaned up. That's an administrator. Well, then the mercy. Oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. You didn't mean to do it. Give me a hug. Yeah, very different. So Mercy might be wondering, what's up with these guys? They're not helping the lady.
Yeah.
You know, the admin, why ain't anybody else cleaning this up? I'm the only one cleaning this up. Yeah, I'm the only one being honest. So we all act differently based on the gift that we've been given. So it's important to remember. This could help your relationship with your spouse. I know Sherry's a mercy. I know how to deal with her. So it just helps. It helps in life. Because we all meet the needs of each other to help us grow. That is the goal with these gifts. Alright, that's that. Any questions on any of that? Larry.
Funny you should say that, because in 2 weeks it's my birthday.
Well, we need to get us an old lady.
No, I don't want my grandma carrying the cake.
We need to trip her as she comes in.
So what I see
so in 2 weeks
is stay right in the middle of that and let God faithfully lead you all the way through those. It's the goal to have all those gifts and so that you can bless them to God.
Not there
you
go, Larry.
Yes, sir.
That's a very good one.
Hey, walk by faith.
That's right. So anyway, that's what I want to kind of summarize with that as we get through. We're about wrapped up here. Let me go through a few things. So now we talked about all this. We're going to talk about this. What do you expect you to do with it? Alright, so when I think of this, whenever I watch Chiefs games every Sunday or whenever, think about this. Alright, we're going to think about the Chiefs and our spiritual gifts. When we go to a Chiefs game, there's like 20,000 people or whatever this thing holds, and they're all watching these 8 or 9 or 10, whatever, guys play. I don't know.
How many watch football every Sunday, really?
Every Sunday.
11.
There's 11.
11, yeah. I know that.
All right, so they're watching these 11. You know, Patrick, he's a big star. He's my hero. This is what you call a spectator sport. These people are not doing anything. These guys are doing everything. That's spectator sport. Church, HBF, the body of Christ, is not a spectator sport. Huh. We're not to watch the pastors do this. We are all in the game. You have all been given a gift to get in the game. Does that make sense?
Steve, so in other words, what you're saying is Steve's the coach and we're the players.
We're the players.
We're the players.
Going to church is not a spectator sport.
Sorry,
that's what I'm saying.
Steve.
We all gotta get in there and get dirty. So God expects us to use this gift. We've all been given this priceless gift. Yeah, the Holy Spirit and our gifts. Spiritual gifts. We're to use it. We're to put it in effect, helping other people. But the thing is, you choose to use it. And that got me thinking of something. We'll do that in a second. A couple of my favorite verses on using your gifts. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers. Paul tells Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery of the church. We're to meditate on our gifts, and we're to give ourselves wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So what? All the people. Continue in them, they'll save yourself. And he's encouraging Timothy, use your gift to help everyone. And he says it again in 1 Timothy 1:5-7. I like this because I'm going to show you. Again, Paul's telling Timothy to remember, you know, the faith, or your grandma was faithful, your mother Eunice. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He's telling Timothy, Don't forget your gifts.
Yes.
Stir it up, which is in thee by putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Huh. We use this verse all the time. All
right.
But for, because of what I just said,
right.
He's saying use your gift in ministry, stir it up, so that you won't be fearful and you will have power. So it's kind of a two-parter. We always leave out the part that he's stirring Timothy up to remember his gift. If you remember your gift and you use it, you're not going to be fearful. So I think that's kind of a cool way of looking at it. Alright, real quick, three-part plan. How do we do this? Now I put this on your handout. For whatever reason, when I went to the internet and I was searching for exercise, all I got were pictures of old people.
Yeah, okay.
So I thought, well, I'll just go with it. You know, and Google knows all about me, so it knows how old I am and stuff. So. Alright, so anyway, here's an easy three-step plan to develop your gift. We'll go through this quickly. First, you got to recognize and accept it. You need to know what your gift is. So I encourage you again, use some tool, method to figure out your gift. Because it's like family, you can't pick your gift. I wish I was, I don't know. I wish I had mercy. I don't. But you can't pick it. You can't trade it in. You can't do one thing for a while and not like it. Just because I don't like teaching doesn't mean I can't do it or don't want to. I'm not going to do it. It burns in me to teach. So I teach the kids pretty much every week. So recognize your gift. Pray for clarity. Seek feedback. Other people can probably see your gift more than yourself. I see Pam's mercy more than she does. You know, and seek feedback. If you're not sure what your gift is, study Scripture. You know, I've given you guys all kinds of verses and people to look at. So, recognize and accept your gift. This is in the handout. Recognize. That's blank. Next would be exercise your gift. Once you know what it is, you need to exercise it. Just like this verse. I love this verse in 1 Peter, where he's telling Peter, every man has received a gift, so minister that gift to others. You are the user. Here's what I thought we could do real quick. It won't take long. If you have the gift of prophecy, what are some ministries at HBF that you think you would be good at, that you would enjoy, that you would be motivated to do? I go. A missions trip. So if you have this gift, this is something that you should consider. And then there's others, so I was just jotting some of these down. What about serving? If you're a server, what are some ministries at HBF that would motivate you to get involved?
Hospitality
is good. I got that on here a little later. I thought of these. Ushers, greeters, church cleaning. We always need help with that.
Well, Dottie cooks for us every Friday.
Dottie cooking for Life Issue. You know, there are so many areas where servers could just go to town here at HBF.
Dave Branham does a lot of cooking too.
He does cooking. Word First is always, they're here like every other Saturday or so, cranking out Bibles. So if you have the gift of serving, just check the bulletin. Actually, the bulletin has a plea for ushers, greeters, AV, several things.
Which is what I want to get into, and I'm going to talk to Lance about that.
There you go. Teaching. If you're a teacher, what would be some good ministries at HBF?
Children's ministry, they need people.
Yes. Children's ministry. And this doesn't get a lot of attention, but Luke, he has the Get a Life discipleship program. I've taken some young kids through it, some teens. It's for teens. It's basically discipleship for teens. It's awesome curriculum. It's from the temple. If you have the gift of teaching, consider teaching someone D1, taking someone through D1. Or teaching a youth, this Get a Life program, or the children's ministry, like Mary said. We have a lot of things to serve as a teaching capacity at our church. Exhorting, if you're an exhorter, what might be a ministry here?
Christ Soccer.
You're a cheerleader. You're a cheerleader. Christ, you want to encourage
academy.
People. Soccer. I didn't think of that one. That's
life
good.
Life issues.
Life issues.
Life issues.
D1 again, because you can see someone's potential and you want to help grow them up.
Amen.
Altar worker. Someone comes forward to get saved. They're always needing altar workers. You can see someone. You see their need. You can pray with them. Lead them to Christ. That's good. All right. If you're a giver. Ministry.
Morsels for many.
Morsels for many. And the word for... We have a pantry. A lot of people may not know it. We have a food pantry. Steve is the pastor over it. We always need help. It's in some capacity. Yeah, we need food all the time. Word first, they're always needing... If you got that 60 grade, K...
Yeah, Jim, I was going to comment on that. Just, you know, it's about a year ago... we had a need for carpet in our church. You know, our church is probably...
Yeah, I remember that.
18, somebody gave $50,000 for carpet.
Yeah.
And so, even more kind of impressive, when I first came to this church, you know, we were meeting in the Christian school, and they had kind of a one-time offering for the building fund, like,
to build this.
We came in 05 and the building, we broke ground in 06. So we were here about a year or two before the building, but they had a one time offering, and you know, me and Angie, we thought we were giving a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, the offering was 160 some thousand.
Oh wow. Wow.
And you know, we gave a little bit, but somebody gave
They gave to a herd.
I mean, I have no idea who gives what, but I believe our church is a giving church, and so it's neat that Brian's making this need known for the Bibles to Sierra Leone. We recognize that there's churches being planted, and you know, a lot of people getting saved over there, and so in Sierra Leone. So anyway, I think it's cool to kind of step back and say, well, see if God can raise the money for this.
All right, Tom just came in. Tom has prophecy, ministry.
Is that mercy?
Mercy. And exhortation. See, you'd be good at several of these, Tom.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, Steve. This is a giving church. And I hear a thing. Like, I heard about the carpet. Don't know who it was. Don't want to know. And I hear about other things like that. And we are a giving church. And those are people that... Those are givers. But we got them. All right, admin, the leading, the shepherding. What would be some
Steve?
Some ministries.
Prayer team.
Be a prayer team. Children's ministry.
Children's ministry.
Here you can herd some cats of your own.
Again, life issues.
Life issues would be another one. You can also do D1. There are so many ministries at this church. For the size that we are, we have a lot of ministries. All right, mercy. This would be the hospitality. Yeah, Jeff Trude runs our hospitality ministry. Like, we're doing the Lord's Supper in a few weeks. And Jeff saves some of the elements, and he'll go around the shut-ins and people in hospitals or whatever and do the Lord's Supper one-on-one. That is a merciful act. He's showing mercy and love to those people. So that would be something. He'd love to have help. To go around again.
Yeah.
We have lots of ministries here that you can fulfill.
Something else I'd like to do is help Jeff out with the shut-in.
There you go.
I would like to do that as well. That's if I need a ride.
So whatever your gift is, we've got a ministry for you. And that got me thinking of this. This is our church website. I did the Boston one. If you go to our website, this is what you see. Imagine, if you will, there was a little button down here. Register your spiritual gift. And when you do that, Pastor Brian sees everybody's gift, and he can place you where you're needed. Wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing?
Wow. Uh-oh.
A lot of people wouldn't like that. Because, again, church is not a spectator sport. We're all to play. So, you know, some people just want to come, but we're all needed. So, to kind of wrap up. So once you recognize your gift, and you start exercising it, and you know where you're growing, you need to grow it. You need to, can you pray about it? Receive training. You know, if you're a... You know, I'm a teacher. I had to receive, or didn't have to, but I wanted to receive more training. I train all the time on things, so how to use PowerPoint, you know, how to do this. Always training. Seeking accountability and feedback. It's always good to know how you're doing. And
pretty good.
All right, almost done. I'm never totally done. But, all right, closing thoughts. We need to be informed. Remember, Paul tells us, don't be ignorant. You know, don't be ignorant. There are seven things that Paul tells you not to be ignorant about. This is one of them. We should all know all about our gifts and how we can use them to help the church body. So be informed. Next, be fruitful. You know, we're all to be fruitful, the fruits of the Spirit. We're all to abide in Christ. By exercising your gifts, that will help you bear fruit. Galatians 5. And lastly, be accountable. Don't forget, we all have a performance review coming up where you're going to be measured on what you did with what you had. And you have a very unique gift God's expecting you to use. And there will be a day at the judgment seat of Christ when you'll be accountable for that. So I encourage you, be accountable. So be informed, be fruitful, be accountable. And that is it. Now I'm done. So any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I like your comment there at the end about growing our gifts. At our pastor's retreat, Brian gave the example. You know, before he was a pastor, he worked at Fagan, where he was kind of an engineer.
Capital engineer, yeah.
And I guess the work he did was good quality, but he had a hard time delegating, and he was just in his 20s, and I think he wasn't really secure. He thought if he asked other people to help him, that you know, it would eliminate the need for his job. So he's just trying to do everything, and
it's hard to delegate.
So he kind of fast forwarded to now, where he's a pastor who's leading other pastors, and he feels, you know, just secure in who God made him to be. And so I like your idea of, you know, exercising our gifts and growing in our gifts. And I thought of that even, you know, when I first kind of became a pastor, it is intimidating, you know, to deal with other pastors. But until, you know, you kind of run your race and you feel like you're doing what God made you to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of become more mature in that area, and you know, some of them may come to the age, but I guess I would just encourage people to kind of feel empowered that, you know, if you have a desire, and even, you know, there's probably ministries we should be doing that we're not even doing, so we could you know, start a new ministry of some kind.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then also to add on that, comparing ourselves to others. We all do it. We're told many times, don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do what Steve does, and there's probably things I do Steve can't do.
Right.
You know, I'm good at these PowerPoints, whatever, you know, things like that. Can't compare yourself to others. Yes, Mary?
I've got a prayer request that I've kind of forgot about earlier.
Well, is there any other questions? Comments? We can dismiss. Would you care to dismiss us, Larry, and include that prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with Jim giving a good message this morning on giving and where we should be in life and what people see in us and in life. And I just want to pray for Joe and Amy Hendricks, man, because they're going through some personal things right now down there in Mexico. And I just want to pray for all the missionaries that we have, but I also want to pray for the church and the good message that Brian's got in store for us today. And I also want to pray for Jim and Sherry that they can, you know, get his mom situated and all this, and hope she gets to feeling better. And just everybody that we pray for.
Yeah. We pray that Steve and Angie have a good trip.
And we pray that Steve and Angie have a good trip.
Thank
you. And I also want to pray for Angie's dad, yes. You know, that if it's God's will, maybe God can take him peacefully or something.
Amen.
And I just pray for everybody here, you know, that we all have a good week. And
amen.
Have a good, prosperous week, prosperous new year, and Merry Christmas.
Amen.
And I say this in your gracious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, glad you remembered, Steve. Do you guys leave tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yep. Wow. Oh, Lord. Speaking of Deutsch.
Sorry about that. I left that out.
Oh, no. I'm glad. Gave you an opportunity to pray.